This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. Be an original. Visit Cadillac.gm.ca.
It's Tuesday, November 13th. Brian Mulroney is scheduled to be a keynote speaker at a high-profile corporate investment event this week. According to the Association for Corporate Growth's website, the exhibitors Mr. Mulroney will be speaking to at the Private Equity Showcase represent more than $30 billion of uninvested capital. Currently, after careful consultation with CBC lawyers, I have been authorized to offer the following punchline. This is the current podcast.
Hello, I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Anna Maria Tremonti, and this is The Current Podcast.
I was fighting for my family's reputation and honor, and my own, and we just wanted to make certain that that was clarified once and for all, forever, for today and for history. It never happened. I had no involvement whatsoever, directly or indirectly, in this, and that's what the government has finally acknowledged. If this keeps it away from another Canadian family, this nightmare, then it will have been worth it.
That was former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney speaking back in 1997. At the time, he had just struck a $2.1 million out-of-court settlement with the government of Jean Chrétien. The settlement, which included a full apology, put an end to Mr. Mulroney's $50 million libel suit against the federal government, as well as an investigation into allegations that Mr. Mulroney took kickbacks in the controversial sale of Airbus planes to Air Canada. And for years, that was the last word on the so-called Airbus affair. But last week, new allegations emerged. Businessman Karl-Heinz Schreiber filed an affidavit alleging he entered into a business arrangement with Mr. Mulroney while Mr. Mulroney was still serving as Prime Minister. That prompted Prime Minister Stephen Harper to say that he will appoint an independent advisor to review the matter and advise him of how to proceed. Now, yesterday, Karl-Heinz Schreiber was interviewed on CBC Radio's As It Happens, and he spoke about Prime Minister Harper's decision.
He looked into it, and I think the rest we have to see what is going to happen in the House and what the parliamentarian thinks the right thing would be. I think it needs a full inquiry to bring it all out, because it is much, much more than people expect at the moment.
In fact, that was a sentiment echoed by Brian Mulroney last night, who weighed in as well, calling for a full-fledged public commission of inquiry to clear his name. Lyndon McIntyre has been covering the Airbus story for CBC Television's The Fifth Estate for, well, a decade now, and he joins me this morning to sum it all up, Lyndon, in 7 minutes or so.
You got all day, maybe.
It's a complicated story. Now, we heard Karl-Heinz Schreiber there saying that an inquiry is necessary, Brian Mulroney calling for one as well. Do you think that should happen?
Yes, I think. I don't think they're talking about the same inquiry. I think that Mr. Schreiber wants an opportunity to sit down. Well, as a matter of fact, he's told me he wants an opportunity to sit down under oath in a place with rules, which will also feature other people under oath, and explain everything he knows about his activities as a lobbyist during the 80s, and everything about his relationship with Brian Mulroney and a lot of people who were close to Brian Mulroney. I think Mr. Mulroney is probably talking about a somewhat more narrower exploration, dealing mostly with what we are glibly referring to as the Airbus scandal. Mm-hmm. The Airbus scandal, I believe, was a non-scandal, and a long investigation by the Mounted Police, a lot of investigation by reporters, revealed a situation in which it's absolutely impossible to connect Mr. Mulroney in any meaningful way to the sale of Airbus airplanes to Air Canada. End of story. People close to Mulroney were involved as registered lobbyists. Mr. Schreiber, who was close to Mr. Mulroney, was involved as a representative of the Airbus. But to make the leap into Mr. Mulroney's involvement is to go much too far.
And that was where the settlement for that lawsuit was.
Well, that's where the settlement. I mean, just as background here, I mean, the government of Canada asked the government of Switzerland for access to Mr. Schreiber's bank accounts, mm-hmm. assuming that they were going to find out all about the backdrop to the Airbus affair in Mr. Schreiber's accounts. In order to sort of give a little bit of oomph to their request, Swiss don't just bow down and open up bank accounts easily. They sort of raised the tantalizing possibility that a former Canadian prime minister was implicated in something irregular. Mm-hmm. And the actual wording was careless by the Justice Department. Now, Mr. Schreiber, because they were his accounts, got that letter. And he informed Mr. Mulroney, guess what? Not only are they trying to get into my accounts, but they're also talking about you. Well, Mr. Mulroney went through the roof, as anybody would. And when he saw the wording of the letter, he said, yeah, this is a slander. And of course then, and this is one of the great mysteries of the story, the letter leaked into the public. And when that happened, Mr. Mulroney had a platform from which he could articulate legitimate indignation and launch a major lawsuit of $50 million against the government of Canada.
So what's new here then is Schreiber's allegation that he and Mulroney had entered into a deal for this $300,000 while he was prime minister, a couple days before resigning his post.
Well, here's why. Here's where 1995, 96, 97 get interesting. It has very little to do with Airbus. It has to do with the fact that in 1993, 2 days before Brian Mulroney leaves the prime minister's office, one of his close friends and former chief of staff, Fred Doucette, summons Mr. Schreiber to Harrington Lake, where Mr. Mulroney is residing. A limo picks Schreiber up, brings him out there, and they have discussions about a future relationship of some kind between Mr. Schreiber and Mr. Mulroney once Mr. Mulroney is gone from politics. And they agree on something that has never really been analyzed or explained fully. And somewhere along the way, they agree on an exchange of money. And presumably, it was in the range of $300,000 to $500,000. Because immediately after this, Mr. Schreiber goes off to Switzerland. He opens up a bank account in which he puts $500,000, and then he takes out $100,000 and comes back and gives it to Mr. Mulroney. So this is where Mr. Mulroney's trouble starts. Is that on that June 23rd, 1993, a meeting with Mr. Schreiber, in which they talk about future relationships. Mr. Schreiber's position is that what they talked about was the possibility that under a Kim Campbell Tory government, Mr. Mulroney would have a lot of clout, and he would be in a position to rather successfully represent Mr. Schreiber's European business interests by just his stature.
Yeah.
And so they move on from there. Now, much is made of that meeting and the fact that he was still the prime minister. It was a two-day technicality. Mm. But a lot more, and perhaps more appropriately, is made of the $300,000 and the manner in which it was paid and what it was really for.
In envelopes,
in envelopes, $1,000 bills, in private meetings, in hotel rooms.
Now, why Karl-Heinz Schreiber is fighting extradition right now, and a lot of people are calling into question his credibility, saying that this is a last-ditch effort to try to save himself from getting extradited.
Well, it may very well be. Mm. And what's wrong with that, I would ask.
as long as he's telling the truth.
As long as he's telling the truth. And we've been dealing with Mr. Schreiber since 2001. And he's told us a lot of things. And we have checked all the things he told us out, or certainly all the things that we were interested in. We've checked them out, and they all kind of add up. He's never lied to us, and he's never misled us. I think he would be the first, if he was sitting here, to admit, I am fighting for my life. Mm-hmm. And, I tried for years and years. He ran interference for the politicians, a lot of politicians, not just Mr. Mulroney, public servants. I mean, this man knows where there's a lot of bodies buried and a lot of skeletons hanging in closets. And he was discreet for years. But 1999, the Germans begin to try to extradite him because he's in a big political scandal over there. And they're using his bank accounts as evidence, and they're asking the Canadians to send him home. Now, what he's saying is that he's going to go home to become a scapegoat, and that he will never get a chance to appear in court, that he will be put in jail without bail and held for a lot of pretrial shenanigans, and he'll die because he's in his approaching mid-70s now. So he is definitely fighting for his life to stay here, and nobody should be surprised if he's suddenly grabbing at political throats in order to secure his position here. He is a Canadian citizen. We can't forget.
Lyndon, it's just the surface of this story, but I want to thank you for coming in and giving us a bit of a primer, because now we're going to talk about some political throats here on the show. Thank you very much.
Okay, Kevin.
Lyndon McIntyre, of course, co-host of The Fifth Estate on CBC Television. He joined me in our Toronto studio. Now, none of the allegations against Brian Mulroney have been proven in court. Representatives for Mr. Mulroney continue to deny the suggestion that he had any deals with Karl-Heinz Schreiber, but an issue once thought to be settled is now back in the public spotlight. And the political fallout, well, that's going to be the buzz that we're going to be following for the next little while, and we'll start right now. For their thoughts on this, I am joined now by Heather McIver, who is a political scientist at the University of Windsor. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
And Peter Wollstonecroft, who teaches political science at the University of Waterloo. Peter, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Heather, I'll just start off with you. There are a number of high-ranking members of the Harper government who have close ties to Brian Mulroney. There's Marjorie Le Breton, a government leader of the Senate, the Prime Minister himself, Peter McKay as well. They have been told to basically stay away from Mr. Mulroney right now. What kind of an impact is that having on the party?
I don't think it really has that much impact on the party. I don't think that any of this whole mess, however serious or trivial it may ultimately turn out to be, has much of an impact on the party itself. And I would draw a distinction here between Airbus and whatever this is, and the sponsorship scandal. And it's the sponsorship scandal, according to Justice Gomery, the Quebec wing of the Liberal Party of Canada directly benefited from what Justice Gomery characterized as a kickback scheme. Here, there's no indication that the Progressive Conservative Party of Canada or its successor, the Conservative Party of Canada, benefited in any way from whatever dealings Mr. Mulroney and Mr. Schreiber had. So I think that if this is going to damage anyone, it will damage Mr. Mulroney and potentially whoever the staff people were that appear to be shielding Mr. Harper, Prime Minister Harper, and his justice minister. That, to me, is a question that's been raised in the last couple of days. But the party itself, I don't see it really damaging the brand.
Okay, and Peter?
Well, I talked to people. Their reaction was, well, he haunts us still. Brian Mulroney's back on the agenda, and we have to deal with it. In the present circumstance, and I think we're all amazed at the rapidity of this, that Brian Mulroney is asking for a public inquiry that extends from 1988 to the present day, almost 20 years, and he wants, as I read what he says, lobbyists, elected officials, public servants, police authorities, as well as journalists. So what's the danger for the present government? Well, are there any members of the present caucus who are going to be saying things in a public inquiry, which I assume will happen? I can't see the Prime Minister not proceeding in that way. And of course, there will be questions about the 7 months delay, though I think that can easily be put aside. But so the issue is, are there members of the Conservative Party who somehow or other are embroiled in all of this? People have been trying to get Brian Mulroney for a long time, and he has successfully swatted them away. So, and I have to say, very boldly, has issued a challenge here.
Well, you say he haunts them still, but Brian Mulroney has very much been a mentor, Stephen Harper has called him, to the new conservative movement.
Well, yes, in recent times, but of course a good part of the birth of the Reform Party and the subsequent versions of that were driven because of the anger over the Brian Mulroney government from 84 to 93. So in that sense, he haunts us still, and the present Prime Minister has to deal with what Brian Mulroney allegedly did in a period a long time ago.
You both mentioned the seventh-month delay. This is when Karl-Heinz Schreiber says that he handed over a letter to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister says he didn't see it. For 7 months, it was held up in Privy Council. Stéphane Dion has said that Karl-Heinz Schreiber and Stéphane Dion, the head of the Liberal Party, have both said that that doesn't seem likely to them. Does that become a political hot potato?
Well, the way I look at it is this: I can't believe that there are people in the PCO or the Prime Minister's office who said, you know, let's just pretend that we didn't get this letter. They would know that Karl-Heinz Schreiber has a tendency to send letters all over the place. And indeed, one NDP MP said, oh, I saw that letter, so it was all over the place. I think that somebody assumed or judged that Stephen Harper didn't need to know about it. I would presume that if Harper had known about it, he would have acted at the time as the way he did on Friday.
Well, Heather?
I agree with that. I think that there are some legitimate questions here about whether perhaps some exempt staffers, political staffers in the Prime Minister's office, and also we've heard last night and this morning, potentially the former Justice Minister's office and Vic Taves was Justice Minister, whether some of those people are overstepping the bounds and doing too much to shield the boss, or whether there was a decision made by public servants somewhere that this need not trouble the big guy. And that does raise some issues, because this government seems to have more of a culture of secrecy even than most governments, and you know, has that permeated to the staff and the public servants, what's going on, what are people being told that they actually should know, even if potentially knowing it could damage them down the road.
I would have thought that somebody would have said, you know, we have to keep a constant watch on things that could be a problem for us, and this would be clearly one of them, Brian Mulroney in his past. And it's absolutely surprising that it didn't reach Harper's desk. But then I say, well, you know, would it be likely that people would say, let's bury this and hope that it goes away? Was it not going to go away?
But there was an interesting change in Stephen Harper's stance in the past week as well, where he initially said, we do not need any public investigation. And then when the detail of Karl-Heinz Schreiber's accusation that this had happened while Mulroney was prime minister, changed his mind. Is that something that that speaks to his leadership? Does it speak to a perceived protection of Mulroney?
I'm not sure that it does, and we should also point out that it was just about the time that we learned that Mr. Harper's name was about to be dragged into this, that Mr. Schreiber had sent this letter, had said, you know, did Mr. Mulroney speak to you on my behalf when he was up at Harrington Lake last summer, and that sort of thing. I think those two things put together probably triggered Mr. Harper to do this. It seems to me that it probably made some sense for whoever made the decision not to show the Prime Minister the letter, just because, as Peter mentioned, Mr. Schreiber has been writing all kinds of letters. He is supposed to face an extradition hearing this week. There might have been an argument to be made that we shouldn't do anything that might jeopardize the extradition process or whatever angle you want to take on it. The important question, though, that it raises for me is about what now happens to the unity of the Conservative Party. Will there be an impact on what I think seems to be now a fairly successful graft between the former Progressive Conservative Party and the Canadian Alliance? Mm-hmm. And that'll be interesting to watch as it goes ahead.
Well, okay, go ahead. Sorry, Peter.
I was going to say, and that goes back to my point about, are there people in the present caucus who have any involvement with any of the things that have been alleged against Brian Mulroney's actions? So, I mean, that will come out. I mean, if we're going to have a public inquiry, which I assume we will, we're going to have revelations and surprises, as we always do, and there are going to be questions asked of people, not of Stephen Harper, but the people around him, and so there's going to be some slop over.
And does that slop over, does a public inquiry, does that affect the potential for an election call?
Well, you know, this public inquiry is going to go on a long time. We're talking about 20 years, and depending on how it's framed, I mean, we're going to have a big issue here. What does Stephen Harper think is the range of the public inquiry, and what does Brian Mulroney want, what the opposition parties demand? They will want everything, of course, and Stephen Harper will not want that. So how this is framed, I think all of this will come out not after the next election, but the one after that. It's going to take a long time for this to become known.
And I don't really see any great long-term damage to the Conservative Party, as I said earlier. And one reason is that the links between the Harper government and the Mulroney government are quite tenuous. It's not as though there's a big overlap of personnel in senior positions. And there does not seem to be, despite Mr. Harper's embrace of Mr. Mulroney, which I think was partly calculated to assist the breakthrough that he made in Quebec in the last election, and seems to have done so. I don't see, though, any real damage to the Conservative Party as an organization. And that is the important thing to bear in mind, it seems to me, when you're talking about whether it will affect the possibility of an election call. Mm-hmm. And it's not as though, and I say this with great respect to Mr. Mulroney, who was a fine party leader and in many respects, I think, a good prime minister, but I think a lot of Canadians who remember his government had already made up their minds about him. There's not a revelation here that somebody that most Canadians thought was one way is potentially a different way.
Well, I want to thank you both for talking to us this morning. It gives us a lot to think about, and we'll be watching what happens on Parliament Hill closely over the next few days. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Heather McIver is an associate professor of political science at the University of Windsor. Peter Wollstonecroft is a political scientist at the University of Waterloo. Well, that's all we have for this podcast. You can listen to The Current weekday mornings on CBC Radio 1 right after the 8:30 news, 9 o'clock in Newfoundland. You can also hear us on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. To find out more about the program, go to cbc.ca/thecurrent. And if you have any thoughts on what you hear on The Current, please send us your comments. You can email us at thecurrent, all one word, thecurrent@cbc.ca. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-287-7366. And as always, our mailing address is P.O. Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. To subscribe to other great CBC Radio podcasts, check out cbc.ca/podcasting. I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Anna Maria Tremonti. Thanks for listening to The Current Podcast.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC Radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.